This is a great day today. Today we have a baptism right after morning service. And that to me is always a great day. I've said this before, I wish every week was a baptism week. And yes, guys, I checked the water and it's like a spa pool. So it's going to be fantastic. You're not going to want to get out, but I'm going to kick you out. Making changes. We're on the road to recovery. You're going to be finding more out soon. We're going to have, you know, some information and a display table in the back, not today, but soon, about this program that we're starting at IBC called Celebrate Recovery. It's a recovery course, a recovery program for people of all types who have been hurting, who have hurts, hang-ups, and bad habits. And they just can't seem to make the changes that they want to in their lives. And so we're starting this recovery program. But we've been looking at this idea of recovery, and we understand that each and every one of us, and to some extent or another, is on a road to recovery. Because we all have this one issue, a universal problem, and that's called sin. We've all been affected by sin. Another word for it is sanctification. It's the process of becoming more like Christ. And that's a lifelong process. So we're in lifelong recovery. We all have these hurts and hang-ups we'll never forget. Each week we're taking a look at a letter in the word recovery. Last week we had Brother Mike, who's really playing a vital role at Celebrate Recovery at the church. He brought us the letter O, but today we're focusing on the letter V, which is voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. It is that basically saying, God, here I am. You show me, Lord, and you change. I volunteer. I submit myself to you. I lay myself down as a living sacrifice for you to do whatever you want to do in my life. It's based on the verse in Romans 12. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be... Hey, I like that word. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is in the transforming lives business. This morning I simply want to do two things. I want to talk about my character defects and where they come from. And then how I can cooperate with God's process of change and change the hurt or habits or hang-ups within my life. The things that have been messing up my life. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we take a look at this subject of change. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are in the business of transforming lives. You died on the cross so that our lives, Lord, could be transformed eternally. But Father, there are times when in our lives we have hurts, habits, and hang-ups that we just cannot shake. And maybe we try, but it doesn't go away. Lord, help us to understand how to cooperate with your process of change. Change our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. The first question is, where do my character defects come from? Anybody have character defects? Things in your life that just shouldn't be there, that are just not right? There's a few honest people among us. But there's a few of us that have character defects. Where does it come from? Why do we have them? Why isn't everybody just the way God would want them to be? There's a few reasons. The first is simply this. There's three sources. First is my nature. My nature. Some of these things, these character defects, you simply inherited. Take a look at our nature in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. We're in the middle of a discussion here. It says, all of us also lived among them at one time, among those who are in the world, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Okay? So by nature, we followed the cravings of our sinful selves. By nature, we were objects of God's wrath. So some of these things we pick up by simply being born. By simply being born. I understand that when we're born, we get chromosomes from our father and our mother. How many is this? Is it like 23,000 apiece or something? Or is it 23 chromosomes? What is it? Pardon? 23. So we get 23 chromosomes from one parent, 23 from the other. Naturally, you expect to see a bit of both in your kids. Okay? I have four kids. They say one out of every four born in the world is Chinese. I haven't had any Chinese yet. So I'm going against the odds. But I remember when Gretchen was born, my daughter, my first daughter, and I was excited to see her. And I naturally assumed that she would look a bit like me and a bit like Jennifer. That's a good assumption. But my daughter was dark-skinned. She looked like an Indian. She looked like an American Indian. And Jennifer would go out with her shopping, and people would say, "Oh, it's a beautiful new baby. Where's the father from?" And she'd be saying, "What? Oh, well, he's from here in America. Oh, I mean, is he a Native American?" No. I don't know what it was, but Gretchen looked totally different. Because you assume 23 chromosomes came from me, and 23 from her. And it makes you wonder if it's not quite the same. But listen, one of the things we inherit is that sin. And each of us have a sin nature. You take it all the way back to Adam and Eve. They sinned. They had children. And because Adam and Eve were now sinners, their children inherited sin from them. So it's in our nature. But that doesn't excuse our behavior and actions. God wants to change that. He wants to transform you. I may be prone to certain things. I may be prone to anger. Maybe I'm by nature, I just get angry real quick and my fuse is this short and I just blow up. Have you known people like that? Who you never know when they're going to blow. They're like a ticking time bomb. I've been around people like that. It's not very fun. You just never know what's going to set them off. And when they blow, man, you just stand back and get away. They may be prone to that, but that doesn't excuse that. I may be prone to violence. I just like to hit things. Doesn't excuse that. I may be prone to alcoholism. I don't know. I don't want to tempt it. I don't want to find out. But I may be prone to it. But it wouldn't excuse my alcoholism. God still says it's wrong. It's sin. And by nature, we are objects of God's wrath. So maybe my nature. Number two, it may be my background. All of us have been raised a certain way, with certain kind of upbringing. We learned how to relate to people. We learned certain patterns from our parents, say, or certain habits. You learned how to respond to things. And some of these things might be important things. Maybe in your life you have a real need to feel and be loved by somebody. But growing up, you didn't receive that, and so you tried to find it the best way you can. Maybe in wrong kind of attention, wrong kind of love, cheap sex, without any emotional attachment. Who knows? Maybe you had a real need for security and you didn't get it. And you were trained to, you know, you had to look after yourself. And now you find security in possessions and in money. And you gather enough of that and you say, "Now I feel secure at least." So maybe your background has something to do with character defects in your life. A big one is number three. My bad choices. James says that, you know, "Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. But each man, when he's tempted, is drawn away and enticed by his own lust. So inside, you maybe make some bad choices. And if you do something that is bad long enough, it becomes a bad habit. It becomes a bad habit. And you get stuck in this bad habit. Why does it take so long to change our character defects, it seems? Why does it take so long? There's a lot of reasons that it takes so long. Maybe you've had them for so long, and it's like an old pair of shoes. They may not be very good to run in, but they feel comfortable on your feet. And you're used to it. You've gotten comfortable with it. These character defects. It's like the old story of the frog in the boiling water, right? You put the frog in the water, and you slowly heat it up, and he's going to stay in there until he cooks to death because he just adjusts himself with it. It sneaks up on him. He doesn't know that it is killing him. Maybe your character defects, you've just gotten comfortable with them. Maybe with your character defects, it has become your identity. And you find yourself saying things like, "That's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. I was born that way. It's just like me to..." And you fill in the blanks. "It's just like me to be overweight, fearful, passive, to lose my temper." So it's become your identity. Why is it so hard to change? Another big one is Satan discourages me. Satan is the accuser. Satan is a liar. And in your mind, he's constantly telling you, "It doesn't work. I can't do this." Maybe in your mind over the past few weeks, as we've been going through recovery, you're saying, "You know, I would sure like that. I need recovery in my life. This is something I really need." And you leave here, and Monday, you got Satan in your head, in your ear, he's whispering to you, "Yeah, that's great at church, but it doesn't work in a real life." He's discouraging. Now, I want to take a look at the truth. We understand our character defects. It comes from our nature. It comes from our background. It comes from some choices that we make. But now, how do I cooperate with God? I don't want to stay the same. I don't care how long I've been a Christian. I don't want to stay the same. I want God to continue to change me. But I must cooperate with God. Because it's not going to happen apart from your permission and your will. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be a lightning bolt that comes and zap. You're like Christ now. I wish that when people trusted the Lord, when they came and they repented and they said, "Lord, forgive me." I wish that there was this magic button on the back of your head and it was a reset button. And all your old thinking, the bad thoughts, everything in your life was instantly erased. And you were all new again and you could follow God. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Anybody else want that kind of button on the back of their head? Sounds kind of creepy, but that'd be pretty cool. How do I cooperate with God? It's not going to happen. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind." Our thoughts, what's going on inside our mind is really the autopilot of our life. It's what sets our course. Let's say you're in a boat, and the boat is on like an autopilot, and it's geared to go a certain direction. Now, by sheer force and willpower, you decide, "I want to go left." What way is that? Is that starboard or port? Nobody else knows? Okay, well, we want to go that way. And so we push the wheel that way, but the autopilot's still set on going straight ahead. What's going to happen? You're going to force it for a while. You're going to try to make the changes. But eventually you're going to get tired and give up and the course is going to be set. What needs to change? The autopilot setting. And in our lives, our mind and our thought is the autopilot. And God says, be transformed, not by sheer willpower, but by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by your thoughts. What's going on? And that needs to change. What is your autopilot in your life? You know how you can tell your autopilot? by fulfilling the sentence, it's just like me to what? It's just like me to be angry, to be resentful, to be unforgiving. It's just like me to struggle with my temper. It's just like me to look for security in things, in money, in bad relationships. Fill in that sentence in your mind. It's just like me to do what? That is your autopilot. How do I cooperate with God? Number one, focus on changing one defect at a time. This is important. This is important. Proverbs 17:24, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Maybe your life is so screwed up. Maybe you've had 20, 30, 40 years of experience and time to mess up things real good. It's going to take some time. And God wants to transform and change your life, but focus on one thing at a time. And I want to encourage you to be more specific. Don't just come and pray, God, help make me a better person. But God, show me what You want to change in my life first. What is it that You want to see in my life that is different? Number two, focus on victory one day at a time. Focus on victory one day at a time. In Matthew 6:11, what does it say? Give us this month our daily bread. God, give me this year my daily bread, my yearly bread. It says, give us today my daily bread. God wants to give you enough strength to change for one day. Not necessarily a week or a month or the rest of your life or eternity, but one day at a time. There's a lot of changes that need to be done. It's like that old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One bite at a time. And sometimes you just need to be able to be content with today. God, today I need You. Today, do that work in my life. Many of you know, in my younger years when I was a teenager, I struggled with some form of anorexia in my life. Eating disorder. I was starving myself to death. I don't understand all the whys. I'm not that smart, I guess. But I do know it was something I had control over. I could control my own self. I could control my body. And I was starving myself to death to the point that they were wanting to put me in the hospital and feed me artificially. It wasn't good. And I struggled with this for several years. It wasn't very pretty. I finally got the help I needed. I got some professional help from Christian counselors, and I was able to get set on a different direction. You could say my autopilot was changed. But let me tell you something. It didn't happen overnight. The feelings didn't change overnight. The old way of thinking didn't change overnight. And each day I would have to say, God, this is hard for me. I need Your help today. And He gave me enough strength one day at a time. And I kid you not, it was about 2 years before I could look and say, man, I don't know how I thought that way before. I don't know how I could possibly starve myself. I like food too much now. How could I possibly think that way? And today I can't imagine going without food for too long. One day at a time. Jesus said in Matthew 6, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God says, I will give you the strength you need for today. Don't fret about tomorrow. But no, we want instant everything, right? We want instant food, fast food, instant coffee, microwave popcorn. Everything has to be done quick. And sometimes we carry that over to our spiritual lives and we say, God, I want to be transformed, but do it today, please. And God, you got about 1 hour to get it done. That's what we often do when we come to God. My life's a total mess. I've blown it for 30 years, but I want to be Billy Graham this week. I want to reach the masses this week. Focus on victory one day at a time. Number three, focus on God's power, not my power, not my will power. Focus on God's power. If willpower really worked, you'd already have changed. But it hasn't. You haven't. So you can't rely on willpower. Jeremiah 13:23 reminds us, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Can you change the color of your skin by willpower? Or the leopard its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. It's not by your willpower. You can't change the color of your skin, the color of your... Well, you can change the color of your hair. But that's not the same. We're not talking about that. But the good news is this, Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through Him, through Christ, who gives me strength. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Whose power do we need? We need God's power. It's not our own power. So you must pray, Lord, I cannot change a thing on my own. And so I need to trust You to take away this defect. I'm going to trust You to take it away. God wants to take it from me. And in your mind's picture, God literally taking away the defects in your life. In your heart, in your mind, picture God with a giant garbage truck coming by. And each day you need to take out the garbage and let Him take it. Each day the truck comes by. I said, God and Son, doing business with people like me for over 2,000 years. And He takes away my garbage, and it's His power. Now, unlike garbage, which comes once every week, sometimes you need to put it out every hour and remind yourself and pray to God, God, take this away from me. This is Your power. It's not my own. Focus on God's power, not just your own willpower, your own abilities. Number four, I need to focus on what I want, not on what I don't want. This is important. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You understand what this is saying? Saying focus. Refocus yourself on good things. Not focus on the bad things. There are over 7,000 promises given in the Bible. That's what we need to be focusing on. One of the most useful things you can do is memorize some of these promises. Focusing on the good. I remember at some point in my teen life, I wanted to renew my mind. Like many teens, I had been filling my mind with a lot of garbage. And I had been filling my minds with... One of the things was music that was going through my mind a lot. And there's a lot of garbage music out there. There is a lot of garbage music. And through the day, this stuff would still be going through my mind, and I find myself singing it. And I find myself remembering all the words. I go into stores and I still remember the words. Even today, popular songs from back in the 80s, I can walk into a store and boom, I know all the words if I hear it again. That's just the way it is. Your mind is a wonderful thing. It's a powerful thing. But I said, God, I want to renew my mind. And how did I do it? Did I focus on the bad things? And there's that song, I don't want that in my mind. No, I had to focus on some good things. And I began to fill my mind with some other things that I liked, but things that were godly, things that would build me up, things that were good to think on, things that challenged my faith. This is what I filled my mind up with. Did it change overnight? No, it didn't. In fact, I'm still in the process of change. It's a lifelong thing. But I tell you what happened. Eventually, the mind begins to think about the good things a lot more than it does the bad things. Now, just driving down the road in my mind, these other songs that were really not glorifying to God were not the things going through my mind. Other things, praising the Lord, it was going through my mind. This is the process of focusing on the good. Once you become a Christian, your identity on your relationship to Christ is the focus, not on your defect. We all have defects, but focus on who Christ is and what He has made you to become. It's just like me to what? That needs to change to God has made me to be a new creation. He's made me His friend. I'm a child of God. I'm a saint. I am set free from the bondage of sin. This is who I am now. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't want. Number five, focus on doing good, not just feeling good. Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, do things in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. If you do the right things, the feelings eventually catch up. Often you have negative and bad feelings. Why? Because of the things you've been doing. You do things that are hurting and damaging to yourself and to other people, and you feel stink about it. You do right, and the feelings begin to feel good. There's a phrase that AA uses. It's called, fake it until you make it. Some of these people struggling with alcoholism don't feel like they're having victory over it. They don't feel very good. But do right, and the feelings eventually come. And if you try to wait until you have good feelings before you change, before you do anything for God, you're going to be waiting for the rest of your life. Instead, focus on doing the right things, and the feelings will change. Guys, you don't feel very loving towards your wife? I want to challenge you to focus on doing right things to your wife. Love your wife. Do nice things. Do that special extra something. Offer yourselves to her. Give of yourself. And eventually, you'll start feeling more loving towards her as well. That's just the way it works. Focus on doing right, not just on feeling good. Number six is this. Focus on people who help me, not hinder me. The right kind of people are going to really help you. The wrong kind of people are going to really hinder you. That's just the truth. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character. If you don't want to get stung, you stay away from the bees. If you don't want to get burnt, you stay out of the kitchen. That kind of thing. And if you know what kind of people tempt you, you need to be able to stay away from them. If you've been struggling with alcoholism, you don't go down and say, you know, I think I'll go to the bar, but I'm just going to eat peanuts and drink water today. That's a stupid thing. Stay away. The Bible says bad company corrupts good character, but it also says two are better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So we need help. We need people in our lives to encourage us, to challenge us. I take a look at some of you young people, young adults especially, and I see the way that you sharpen other young adults. And by your influence and your presence, you're challenging them to be better people. That's great. We need that. You need people in your life that are going to sharpen you. Stay away from the people that are going to hinder you and your growth. Number 7, focus on progress, not perfection. Are there anybody here that's a perfectionist at heart? Some people are perfectionists. Everything must be done right and all the way or not at all. In your Christian life, that will frustrate you to death. You will be so frustrated. We need to put the focus on progress, not perfectionism. You will never be perfect, and you just need to be able to accept that. Say to yourself right now, I will never be perfect. And that's okay. But progress, growth, change, transformation, that's what we need to be seeing in our lives. There was an old song I used to like. Said, I know I'm not the man that I ought to be. Anybody else know the rest? No? But praise God, I'm not the man that I used to be. I know I'm not the man that I ought to be right now, but man, I'm not what I used to be. There's progress. I am growing. God is transforming my lives. I am submitting myself to His process of change in my life. And that's great. Now, some of you need to be able to take a look back at what you used to be and ask yourself, is there a change in my life? Maybe some of you right now are discouraged and you don't feel like you've been moving forward in your life. Look back. Or better yet, ask a friend, a close friend, to help you look back. Where have you come from? Has God been doing a work? Do you see the evidence of God in your life? Has there been progress in your life? Let's submit ourselves to God's process of growth. Focusing on one defect at a time. Don't get bogged down with the whole big picture of everything in your life. And oh my goodness, where do I begin? Focus on victory one day at a time. Focus on God's power, not just my willpower. Focus on what I want, not on what I don't want. Focus on doing good and not feeling good. Focus on people who help me, not hinder me. And focus on progress, not perfection. Would you stand with me?